Our revolutionary generation is an excellent example of this. The Washingtons and Hamiltons and Jeffersons and Adamses, who played such prominent roles in drafting our great founding documents, are not the same ones who were out in the streets, so to speak, during the crisis with Britain. The John Hancocks and the Sam Adamses, and those men were not the ones who were present to write the great documents. The same thing is true on the Confederate side. Much more moderate men held sway in Montgomery than the William L. Yanceys and others who had agitated for a long time to have some kind of break from the United States. The delegates in Montgomery selected Jefferson Davis of Mississippi and Alexander Hamilton Stevens of Georgia to be the provisional president and vice president, respectively, of this new nation. Now, later legislation called for election of permanent officers in November of 1861 and their inauguration in February of 1862. But until that happened, until the general elections were held later in 1861, the provisional Congress would be made up of the delegates in Montgomery, and Davis and Alexander Stevens would be the provisional president and provisional vice president of the Confederacy. Now, it's significant, I think, that both Davis and Stevens were considered to be very moderate. Jefferson Davis was in many ways a logical choice to be the new president. He was probably the most eminent Southern statesman of the late antebellum years. He occupied a position somewhat like that John C. Calhoun had held for many years, although he was not as great a thinker as John C. Calhoun, certainly not as original a thinker as Calhoun, and didn't inspire quite the admiration among white Southerners that Calhoun had. But having said all of that, Jefferson Davis was a man of significant stature in the late antebellum South, and a man who made sense as a leader of this new nation. Senator from Mississippi, he'd been Secretary of War, he had occupied a number of important positions. He was at best a lukewarm secessionist. He had not been in the vanguard of the secession movement in Mississippi or for the South as a whole. He had embraced it reluctantly as he saw the situation coming to a point where the South might really be at a disadvantage, at least in his mind. Alexander Stevens was a former Whig. Davis had always been a Democrat. Alexander H. Stevens was a former Whig. He was an even more reluctant secessionist than Jefferson Davis. He was a Georgian. Georgia had been tremendously divided over the question of secession, a bitter, bitter debate in Georgia during the secession crisis. And Alexander Stevens had been a moderate voice in Georgia during those debates after the election of Abraham Lincoln. He steadfastly had sought a way out of the crisis of secession, but here he was as the provisional vice president of this new Confederate States of America. I think that the convention selected these men, first of all, because they were able, as I said, no question about that. Stevens was brilliant, quirky, very quick to take offense. He was a tiny man. He only weighed about 100 pounds. Not much there except a powerful intellect, but clearly a man of substance. Jefferson Davis, a man of substance as well. That is the most important reason they were chosen, but they were also chosen, I think, to send a message to the Upper South, to the 8 slave states that were still in the Union. Never forget that fewer than half the slave states are gone at this stage. No one knows how many other states are going to go. Don't ever fall into the trap of reading backward into history everything we know to try to understand what's going on. No one knew how many states would end up seceding. All they knew, 7 were gone, and these men in Montgomery want to send a message to the 8 slave states that are still in the Union that we're moderates, they're saying. We're selecting moderate leaders. We are responsible. We're setting up a reasonable government that could accommodate the wishes and needs of you less strident states, slave states, that have chosen not to leave at this point. I think that same kind of thinking, that same kind of moderate thinking, caused the convention to refuse to reopen the African slave trade. A number of the fire eaters pushed for that. Reopen the slave trade. We're proudly a slaveholding republic now. Let's go ahead and start importing slaves again. The convention said no. They knew that they would lose some of the militant secessionists on that point, but they also knew that many in the Upper South had been against the slave trade for years, and that foreign observers